The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, from Japanese knotweed to giant hogweed to the much fabled rhododendron, what do you do about invasive plants in your garden? And can you actually identify them? Well, Paul Smith is head gardener at RCSI Belfield, plantsman, author, and podcaster, and he joins me now. Paul, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, the question of invasive plants, I mean, there are two definitions. Any plant that you don't want that comes into your garden is invasive, but that's not really what we're talking about here. We're talking about plants that we really should get rid of.
Yeah, we're talking of the non-native invasives, which are really the ones that can be problematic. So you mentioned a few of the ones there. There's a couple of really bad ones, the rhododendron, the Japanese knotweed, the Himalayan balsam, and they're ones that can potentially cause all sorts of problems, both financial and biodiversity and loads of other problems. So yeah, they're the ones you really want to talk about.
Talk to me about the rhododendron, first of all. It's beautiful to look at when it's in bloom. Why do we not want it?
Basically, the rhododendron that is taking over parts of Kerry and that part of the world, it's a hybrid. It's a man-made hybrid, and it's actually Rhododendron superponticum, and it takes over. It's very, very invasive. It spreads. It kills all the other native vegetation. And actually, believe it or not, the flowers are toxic to our honeybee. So it will actually actively kill the honeybee if they go to take the flowers of it. So there's loads of reasons why we don't want that. And it's super invasive. It's a hybrid that we've created and it's become a real problem down there.
And how do they take it away? I mean, we heard Michael Healy-Ray saying such a problem, the army need to be brought in to remove it.
Yeah, and they literally do that. There's loads of volunteers that go down there at different times. They cut it. They do use chemicals. I mean, we're often talking about not using chemicals, but it's one of the few times where they say, you know, to actually control it, they have to go cut it at the base, let it resprout, and then actively kill it. And it takes over at such a speed, it's unbelievable. Another one is the gunneras. The gunnera, the giant rhubarb on some of the islands. Is very, very invasive. So it's one of those ones we really have to watch out for.
Now, talk about the Japanese knotweed and why that is so damaging.
Yeah, well, the reason it's so damaging is its root system is so strong. And again, it's very vigorous. These all come from countries, you know, all over the world. And where they go in their native countries, they don't tend to be all that of a problem. They come to Ireland and we just have, it's like the Goldilocks zone here. It's perfect temperature, perfect heat, perfect everything for the plants just to go crazy. And the Japanese knotweed will spread up. It'll go through concrete. It'll even go under foundations of houses and into basements. It's a real tug if you have it on your property.
Now, the giant hogweed used to be in the news some years ago because if you get any of the sap on your skin, it has a burning effect. And that, again, was introduced deliberately, wasn't it?
Yeah. As I said, Pat, they all were. All of these plants have been actually introduced by humans. You know, we are the most invasive species. We are the ones who spread these things around. We put them into places where they really shouldn't be. And we think they're lovely ornamental plants, which they can be. And, you know, if you look at them out of the context of them being damaging ecologically and damaging in every other way, they're actually quite beautiful. But yeah, that hogweed is a really vicious thing. If you get that on your skin and you get a bit of sunlight on it, it can actually react very badly. It'll come out in all sorts of horrible things. So yeah, best avoid it if you know you have that.
No, we're probably not likely to find that in our gardens, are we? That we might find it down at the banks of a river in an area where it's known to propagate and the message is stay clear. Don't go near it. But do you report it?
Yeah, absolutely. And the best place to report it to is there's a place down in Waterford, the National Biodiversity Data Centre, and they are actually collating all this information. And if you can report it to them or to the local authorities, they will and they have to deal with it. If you drive around the countryside, you'll often see signs saying Japanese knotweed, do not cut. The reason being, if you cut Japanese knotweed, you're actually propagating it, which, you know, you're causing the problem to be even worse. So if you see it, be very careful and often don't touch, just report it if you know what it is.
And now the Japanese knotweed, how do they kill that? Do they paint on a systemic on the leaves or do they pull it?
They have to paint on a systemic fertilizer in the autumn time when the plant is dying down. The whole idea is if you inject the chemical into it, then the plant actually takes in the chemical into the root system and actually kills it. And the thing with the Japanese knotweed, some people have probably heard this, in the UK in particular, it actually makes a house not unmortgageable, but it makes it very difficult to get a mortgage on a house if you have it in your property in the UK.
And going back to the rhododendron, I mean, some people will have a rhododendron bush in their garden. Is that likely to infect all the neighbours?
Yeah, this is where we have to be careful. I mean, you know, we say rhododendron, but not every rhododendron is bad. The one that's really bad is that one that you see down in Kerry, which is, as I said, this man-made hybrid, which has just spread like mad. You go into a garden centre, you can buy rhododendrons, and most of them, in fact, all of them that you buy, there's no problem with them. They're fine. They're much more compact. They're not an issue. It's when you have these wild ones. If you see a rhododendron in the wild, you think it's beautiful, take it back to your house. Please don't, because that's where the problem will be caused. But buying them, they're generally cultivated, well-behaved ones.
Finally, I should ask you about things that people normally associate as invasive. You know, someone has ivy next door that crawls over and maybe does damage to your wall or whatever it might be. But they're not, well, they're indigenous, I presume, these ivies.
Yeah, ivy, I mean, ground elder, bindweed. I mean, where I work, our biggest problems are actually our native invasive species. You know, lots of these things, once they have a chance to take over, once they have very little other competition, which is what happens, once there's no natural predators, which again, what happens with these things when they're taken out of their native habitat, they will just take over. So yeah, our own native plants, while they're not necessarily a problem, they can become a problem in your own garden out of context.
Someone wants to know about Himalayan honeysuckle.
Possibly Himalayan balsam, they mean, which is related, believe it or not, to the busy lizzies that you see in bedding containers and that. That's one that grows by riverside, very invasive. It seeds thousands and thousands of seeds and it has a very quick lifespan. So I think it only takes about 8 weeks for it from germination to seeding. So can take over riverbanks, cause problems along waterways. If you see it, eradicate it before it flowers. It's easy to kill. It's only an annual. It doesn't come back year on year. So it's easy enough to kill that one.
And anyone who's planted bamboo for an ornamental aspect to their garden will know how bamboo can spread.
Yes. bamboo, there's a couple of different types of bamboo. There's clumping forms and there's spreading forms. And anyone who has planted the spreading bamboo in your garden, you won't need to, or you will want to try eradicate it. Bamboo is quite a difficult thing to eradicate. Believe it or not, it's a grass, closely related to grass. If you do have it, obviously take it away, reduce its vigor. The spreading one really shouldn't be planted in a garden. The newer ones, the Phyllostachys bamboos, are a little bit better behaved. But those old spreading ones, the sasa bamboos in particular, are really invasive. So if you do have them, you're just going to have to try, persist and get out of your garden.
Paul Smith, head gardener at RCSI Belfield, plantsman, author and podcaster. Paul, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.